What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Zach Attack. Shout out to Andy Lynch, who wrote that intro for me. New intro sounds fucking awesome. He also did the cover art for the podcast, so dude is seriously one of the most talented people I know. Shout out again to Andy. Thank you for all your help with the podcast. And I got plenty of great stuff for you this week. So we're going to do music news, movie news, new movies. We're going to talk about some movies that I saw this week. And of course, I got a top five list for you at the end. And I think it's one of the most fun ones that I've done so far, especially for the horror fans. Getting into first, not exactly a movie, but it sounds like a movie. I figured I'd talk about this. So Jake Paul just announced that he's going to be fighting Mike Tyson on July 20th. And this will be the first time that Netflix is going to be broadcasting a boxing match. Filming has begun for the sixth installment of the Final Destination series, which is one of my absolute favorites. Like, the storyline doesn't even matter. The whole point of these movies are just cool kills, and they make, like, the least likable characters you could possibly imagine in them, and then you watch them get killed in creative ways, like, all because they can't avoid death. Like, I'm a huge fan of this series. I like all the movies in it. I think the third one's probably my favorite with the roller coaster, but I definitely like them all, and stay tuned, because that is what the top five list coming up later is going to be all about. I don't know when we're going to see that movie finally coming out. Probably in 2025 or 2026. Very excited. I wish they did like a TV series of that, because I would watch that all day. They could keep those movies coming out. I'm not mad about however many sequels they make. Also, in terms of horror movie, T. West has just announced release date for his final movie in the X trilogy. It's going to be called Maxine, which we already knew, and it's going to be coming out July 5th. If you haven't seen X or Pearl and you're a horror fan, these are some of the best new horror movies to come out in a really long time. The main character, Mia Goth, does a phenomenal job in both movies. X is a prequel to Pearl, but I really feel like you could watch these movies in whatever order you want and still get the same experience out of them. In terms of the timeline, this one's set in the 80s. That would actually make it a sequel to X, so it would be the most recent information. And then in terms of new movies that came out this week, we have three big names. First being Kung Fu Panda 4, which is currently sitting with a 71 on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know if I've ever seen any of these movies all the way through, but I know that people love them, and Jack Black is always, like, the best in animated movies, so I really should catch up on the Kung Fu Panda movies. And then also, Dune 2 finally came out in the U.S., and currently that is sitting with a 93 on Rotten Tomatoes. Pretty impressive. Gotta finally get all the way through Dune 1, but I feel like it's coming. I think I'll watch Dune soon, and then we'll be able to talk about the new one. And then also, we have the horror movie Imaginary that came out today. That currently has a 24 on Rotten Tomatoes, and it looks like it's about imaginary friends, like teddy bears and stuff, being mad that you left them, so now they've come back to seek their revenge. Definitely wouldn't go see this in the movie theater. Wouldn't pay any money for it. I have a feeling it's going to be coming very soon to streaming. Alright, and that does it for movie news. Moving on to music news. CJ from Thy Art Is Murder, who was fired from the band the day of the release of the album. He woke up, yeah, I got a new album coming out. Hey, turns out your vocals aren't on it. And, you know, according to what we know, it was all over being transphobic on a stream, but it seems like there was probably a lot more behind why ever Thy Art Is Murder decided to basically ghost their lead singer the day that their album released. But he's a realtor now, and it looks like he's pretty happy about it, and you could go online, he's got his own realtor page, and you could buy a house from the ex-lead singer of Thy Art Is Murder. And speaking of ex-band members, we just got news. Jay Weinberg, the now ex-drummer of Slipknot, has just found his new replacement band. He's going to be in Suicidal Tendencies. Of course, I was a little mad about this decision that Slipknot made for a while, but it's Slipknot. Like, the second I'm having a bad day, I get in the mood and I just want to listen to some Slipknot. Like, I'm like, all right, guys, I forgive you. You're still my favorite, regardless of what they do. But they definitely did Jay dirty, and I'm really happy to see that he's got a new band that he's going to be able to thrive in, because he is such a talented drummer, and it was so great seeing him in that band. My music news this week is like all just like metal and rock stuff. I don't really have much for you in terms of anything other than that, and I'm totally cool with that. Hopefully you are too. But next up on the list is Korn announced their 30th anniversary show, which is going to be held in California, and it's like a little mini festival. They're going to be touring for their self-titled album again, which I actually got to see them do, but they did take some tracks out of it last time that they toured, and they've been playing with the idea of whether or not they're going to do the whole thing. Jonathan Davis does not like performing the last song on the album, Daddy, and I mean, if you listen to the song, you could definitely tell why, especially on an ending note. So, you know, if they do that song, they're going to have to come with like a really fun encore or something afterwards, but it's looking like they might play it. So the bands on the bill are Korn, Evanescence, Gojira, Spirit Box, Vended, and Scars on Broadway. So pretty cool lineup, mix of old and new. I would definitely like to go to that if they weren't just doing it in California. So hopefully they announce some additional dates for this. Next up, the death metal band Decapitated is going to be featured in a Disney Plus show called Extraordinary, which is pretty friggin' awesome. I have a feeling it's just going to be like some moment where something extreme's going on and they play, you know, like a riff or something, but it's still cool that they're getting the recognition. Decapitated is also going to be playing in Wilmington, Delaware, which is, of course, where I live. It's great when shows come through, and they are right around the corner at the Queen on April 26th, and I'm going to be there, but I'm really excited to, I guess, maybe watch the first episode of this Disney Plus show to see where Decapitated falls. And then also, J. Cole announced the lineup for his 2024 Dreamville Fest, which is going to be taking place in North Carolina, as it always does, on April 6th and 7th. The lineup this year consists of SZA and Chris Brown headlining on the first day with J.I.D., Lil Yachty, Schoolboy Q, Sexy Red, Jeremih, Tizo Touchdown, Earth Gang, and then on day two, we have J. Cole, of course, Nicki Minaj, Rima, Jeezy, Monica, Ray Schremer, Key Glock. Plenty of good people on the lineup. Last year, I actually watched this on, like, a stream. I think it was on, like, Hulu or something like that, and you could watch the whole Dreamville Fest, and it was awesome just sitting there for 2 days, like, pretending I was at a music festival while I was just at home, just drinking beer and watching all these great artists perform. So hopefully this will be streaming again, because probably not going to go to North Carolina, but I definitely want to check out all these acts. And then finally, today in music news, Five Finger Death Punch announced their summer headlining tour, and it's getting a lot of buzz right now, but mainly because of the undercard. So Marilyn Manson's back, and he's going to be part of the lineup, as well as Slaughter to Prevail, who's easily the biggest band in deathcore right now, and for a good reason. Now, Manson hasn't toured in several years due to numerous allegations against him. His ex, Evan Rachel Wood, actually made a documentary about the things that occurred between the two of them. It's called Phoenix Rising, and I've noticed that a lot of his fans aren't watching this. Now, as someone who's been a fan of Marilyn Manson since I was 12, I'm 28 now, I had to check this documentary out. And a lot of the things that shocked me were mainly the things that Manson himself said and was proud of and bragging about. And then also going back and looking at his book that came out in 1998, Long Hard Road Out of Hell. I read this when I was 13, and rereading excerpts of it, it's the same thing. It's him talking about all of these things that he's done that are right in front of us. I think that we all maybe thought that Marilyn Manson stood for something different than what he actually does. I mean, just look at his 2012 performance at the Golden God Awards with Taylor Momsen, where after that performance, she goes off the stage and she's crying. And Manson didn't put on that great of a performance. In fact, he hasn't, at least in the last decade. The music writing has still been pretty good, but his live performances are just him being super messed up, doing half part of the song and just getting through. So I'm surprised that he's back touring. In fact, I think that if he's going to keep making music, he probably shouldn't be back on the road again. And this seems like a huge liability for Five Finger Death Punch. All right, and that's going to do it for music news. Now moving on to new music that came out this week. So first up, we have from Four Bats and Drake, we have Act 2, Date at 8. And this is clearly like a new song that's kind of been a little bit of a phenomenon already before Drake came and put his spin on the track. But I think this song is so simple. Like, I get why it's a hit. It's very repetitive, it's catchy, but it's definitely an interesting single, and Drake comes and delivers a verse. It sounds like something he's done before, maybe because he fits so well on the song. I'm not too sure, but I'm sure we're gonna hear a lot about this song. All right, and then next up we have Don't Look Away from The Plot and You. The Plot and You are probably one of my favorite metalcore bands. Like, I feel like they're so underrated. Like, they put together such great songs. And recently, they've been releasing a lot of singles. And this is their latest single. It's got a whole bunch of different styles to it. And it's heavy as hell. The lyrics are really good. Definitely highly recommend checking out Don't Look Away by The Plot and You. And then our third single, we have from The Devil Wears Prada, Ritual. So, really good track. For me, The Devil Wears Prada really lives in, like, what they did in their earlier career. But they still put out kick-ass new music. Like, they had a period of time where they were on a little bit of slump, but they definitely found their footing again. And it's a catchy song, it's a heavy song, really has a little bit of everything in it. So, solid track from Devil Wears Prada. And then also, Luke Hemmings, who is from 5 Seconds of Summer, released a solo single called Shakes. It's a little low-key, it's not really like the pop punk that I was kind of expecting from 5 Seconds of Summer. It sounds like he's got a new EP coming out. He's listed to play a lot of festivals, so expect to see more from Luke Hemmings in the future. And then another single that came out this week, we have from Rainbow Kitten Surprise. Awesome name, awesome band. We have their new track, Superstar, which is really poppy. Like, I expect a folk sound when I listen to Rainbow Kitten Surprise, but it's a really fun, upbeat song. Highly suggest checking that out if you like them, and if you like alternative rock and you haven't heard of them. And then we also got an EP from Lil Peep today, which I'm shocked that they still have more music from Lil Peep that they can put out. But the song that was new to Spotify that came out today was called Looking At You. And it's probably one of my favorite Lil Peep songs that's come out since he was alive. Like, it's got such a great chorus on it. Like, it's accessible. It's a song you could drive to. And I'm a big fan of Lil Peep's music. And I definitely wasn't expecting another song to come out that I really enjoyed. So check that one out if you like Lil Peep. And then we also have from the Black Keys, This Is Nowhere, which is like their third or fourth single from their new upcoming album, Ohio Players, which is going to be out on April 5th. I didn't find the song to be super outstanding, but I definitely respect the band. All right, and then moving on to new albums that came out this week, we got to talk about Ariana Grande's new album, Eternal Sunshine. Used to be a huge Ari fan, these days not so much. This album's pretty good though. It's like 34 minutes long, so it's super accessible. It's got a lot of really great poppy tracks, and it's also got a lot of really introspective tracks. Like, I really like the vulnerability that she's showing on this album. Like, they're all really great poppy songs that are super catchy, so, like, those two going together, having really great lyrics and poppy catchy songs, like, it's a pretty solid album. First time through, standout tracks would be Bye, Don't Wanna Break Up Again, Eternal Sunshine, The Boy Is Mine, We Can't Be Friends, and I Wish I Hated You. And of course, Yes And. You know, she's staying on brand. She's putting out really good music, stuff that people are definitely going to relate to and really like. She's got Wicked coming out later this year. 2024 is going to be a big year for Ariana Grande. All right, and then next up in new albums, we have from Judas Priest, Invincible Shield, which is an awesome album. Judas Priest have been a metal band for 50 years now, and they put out a pretty damn good album. It sounds like a really polished version of an 80s album. Like, it sounds like 80s metal. They sound exactly like Judas Priest. Their songs are catchy, the songs are good, and it's really crazy. I would say standout tracks on this album, without a doubt, Panic Attack, the single, was so good. Serpent and the King was a standout track we had from before. I'd say probably my favorite song on there was Devil in Disguise. I will say that it's a little long, but hey, they're a metal band that need time for thrashing. They can't put out a 30-minute album like Ariana Grande, so, you know. And then Bleachers put out a new album. I talked about Bleachers earlier this month with, like, an EP, but now we have the full album. It's just self-titled. It's called Bleachers, and I started it, and I listened to the song Jesus is Dead, and it kind of had, like, a monotone voice saying, like, a teenage girl just sized me up, and I don't know. I wasn't feeling it. I didn't want to listen to the whole Bleachers album, wasn't into it. There was an article that said it's modern because it's retro. I don't know, not really my type of deal. I still like the I Want to Get Better song they put out forever ago, but not super into new Bleachers. And then from Scene Queen, we have Finger EP, and this was my first time listening to Scene Queen besides from one song that came out a couple years ago with the lead singer of Set It Off, and I wasn't super impressed by that, but this EP was awesome. Like, it had pop, it had rap, it had screaming. It really had some really fun tongue-in-cheek lyrics to it. If you know, like, the OG scene queen millionaires. Like, she definitely encapsulates that vibe really good. And I really enjoyed this project, and I'm probably going to check out more. And then from NBA Youngboy, aka Youngboy Never Broke Again, we have his latest album, which is called Complaints of Grave Digger Mountain. I mean, Youngboy puts out so much music all the time, so many projects from him, and he's still so young. This stuff is like as unhinged as it could possibly get, like lyrically and everything. I mean, I watched an interview with him, and he sat there and he was all quiet and kind of soft, but like, that is so not what you get in the music that Youngboy puts out. He puts out a ton of music, like I said. For the most part, like, I'm not super into it, but I definitely get the appeal. And then from Municipal Waste, we had like a new album slash EP. I don't really know what you would call it. It's 9 songs. It's 9 minutes long. It's kind of got like a John Carpenter Escape from New York theme to it. And it's just some grindcore type stuff. I mean, I kind of put them between like the realms of grindcore and punk, and this thing was just grindcore as hell. And then finally, for new albums this week, we have from Too Close to Touch, Four Keeps. I think this was my first time ever listening to a full-length album from them, and it was kind of like an Amorosa type of vibe. Like, the whole time, it's very post-hardcore. I wanted it to get heavier the whole time, and it never really did. They have a feature from Bad Omens on here, which is huge, because I'm sure there's people that are getting into this heavier music that like Bad Omens, that wish they were a little bit more mellow, and this is probably a perfect thing for them to check out. It's only 8 tracks long. My favorite track on there was Designer Decay with a feature from Kane Hill, and that's the only track that gets like really heavy on the album, so that's honestly why I like that one the most. This was kind of middle of the road for me, but I'm sure that there are some people that are new getting into this music that would probably really enjoy it. Alright, and then on to the next segment, movies that I watched this week. From 2018 and 2019, the TV show Castle Rock, which is like a Stephen King inspired miniseries, 2 season thing before it got canceled, that has a lot of really great characters from past Stephen King movies and makes a lot of references to his work, and story's really good. I just finished the first season, and the second season has a completely different story to it. First season has Bill Skarsgård in it, and it kind of plays like a multiverse type of scenario in a town where things go really wrong, primarily because of like the plots of Stephen King books. Like, Shawshank Prison is in this whole thing, and I completely missed this show, and I'm glad that I'm checking it out now. It only had 2 seasons before it got canceled, but it's been pretty solid and it's been pretty enjoyable. Just finished the first season, which, if you want to watch it, I just want to let you know ahead of time, the story completely changes in terms of who it follows for season 2, but really enjoying that. It's always fun to find something Stephen King that I haven't seen before. And then finally, on Netflix, I watched the new Adam Sandler movie, Spaceman, which is getting such mixed reviews. Now, see, for me, Adam Sandler is like the first actor I ever remember like recognizing and being like, I want to watch more of that guy's movies. So Adam Sandler just feels like home to me in whatever he's doing. I like his serious roles. I like his comedies. Whatever he's doing, I'm going to watch. Obviously, he has some bad stuff, but overall, just love the guy, and I'm going to check out whatever he does. And this movie was interesting. So if you haven't seen it yet, so essentially they're going on a space conquest to figure out what the purple thing that's been in the sky for the last 4 years is. And it's a year-long exhibition, and Adam Sandler's wife is going to leave him during this exhibition because she's mad at him for being away for so long again. And while he's up in space, he's getting really lonely, and he runs into an alien that's like a big spider. And the spider can read minds and is reading Adam Sandler's mind and telling him about his loneliness and all kinds of things like that. I will say that it definitely had its corny moments, but overall I found the movie really entertaining, and I also really like the message behind it. Alright, now, finally, to speak of a movie that has zero message, we've made it to our top 5 list for the week, which is going to be the top 5 deaths in Final Destination movies, to celebrate the fact that they're making a 6th Final Destination movie. It only felt right to pick one from each movie, so starting at the 5th Final Destination movie, which came out in 2011, so a while ago, we have the gymnastics kill in the movie. Like, what a terrifying way to go. Like, she's clearly a very professional gymnast. She knows what she's doing, and she comes down on a fall from, I think it was like chalk on the beam or something like that, and she comes down and she falls and topples over herself and breaks like every bone in her body. That shit was fucking crazy. Definitely never seen anything like that in a movie before, and that's what Final Destination does, deliver the crazy ass kills. So in Final Destination 4, which is easily the worst Final Destination movie, my favorite kill from that one one was the escalator kill, because it was one of those instances where Final Destination was able to make me scared of something. Like, I never really thought about how the escalator could, like, kind of take you under with it, and that's what this movie did. It came out in 2009 during the whole 3D phenomenon, and it was a 3D movie. I remember seeing it in the theaters. It's definitely the most corny of all of them. It still has plenty of good kills in it either way. Like, this was definitely the hardest choice in terms of picking what my favorite kill was. All right, and then moving on to 3, gotta pick it. So iconic. 3, the roller coaster Final Destination is my favorite Final Destination movie, and my favorite kill in it has to be the tanning salon. Like, come on, you knew if you've seen Final Destination 3, I was going to say the tanning salon kill, because it's such a horrifying thing to think that you're being burnt to death in something. You know, normally you have full control of just picking up the lid and getting out of there, and it's such a slow way to die. And the way that they filmed it with, like, the sunscreen bottle stopping them from being able to open the door was just terrifying. Last year, I made a list of, like, my top 100 favorite scary movies, and this one makes the list. And speaking of that, my number 2 pick for Final Destination 2 has to be one of the early scenes in the movie during the premonition, because they don't actually show this later on, is when the log falls from the back of the truck into the cop car. So every time now, I think anybody drives behind a log and they've seen this movie, like, if they're seeing that in the back of a car, they're thinking, oh fuck, Final Destination, that thing can't go through the car. And like I said, that's what Final Destination does best. They make you scared of a whole bunch of random situations that otherwise you wouldn't have thought of. And then finally, at number 1, from the first Final Destination movie, we have when they're on train tracks, and this guy's originally a little unhinged and is saying, like, hey, I want to die on the train tracks because death is following us. And then he can't get out of the car. The car's stuck on the train tracks. And then there's, like, a whole meltdown between a whole group of friends. And just when you think that the guy on the train tracks is going to be the one to die, this piece of metal flies up and hits Sean William Scott in the head and basically cuts his head in half. So it basically makes him, like, the most famous person to ever die in a Final Destination movie, and it was easily one of the most crazy, if not the craziest one. And that's going to do it for me today, guys. Thank you for listening. This has been another episode of Zack Attacks.